Okay, so like, I didn't realize Sarah was going to share that earlier, which is totally fine. But to back up a little bit, I went to high school, or college in Indiana at Anderson University, and they did this thing where they said, hey, if you've got some juniors or seniors that want to look at the college, like, bring them on out. So I saw this as an opportunity to go see a bunch of my old friends, which was perfect. So we went there this past weekend, and we just got back late last night. And the thing that was super cool about it was I was walking around campus, and I had all of these memories come back about when I was in college. So there were really good memories, and there were really bad memories, and there were really funny ones. But I also had this one. I remembered this girl, her name was Audrey, and we were kind of good friends, but Audrey had a brother. And I didn't know her brother. Zach's already laughing. I didn't know her brother real well. He actually didn't go to the school. She just, like, kind of was living with him for a while because he needed a place to stay. But the weird thing about Audrey's brother was that you would tell a story like, oh my gosh, you know what just happened to me? I was walking down the sidewalk and it was raining and this truck came and like ran into this puddle and all of this water splashed over me. I got soaking wet. And you'd tell this story, and that's a pretty typical story in Indiana. And then he'd be like, oh man, this one time I was like walking on the side of the street and this truck came and a shark jumped out of the truck bed and it like ate me. And then it jumped back in and I like didn't have an arm and I was like, oh my gosh, a shark ate me. And it was crazy. And you're just like, are you kidding me? And then you'll tell this story of like, hey, I went parachuting and like skydiving and I jumped out of the plane and my parachute opened and I was like, whoo! And it was crazy. And they'll be like, oh man, that's nothing. One time I was like pushed out of a Southwest airliner and like I got pushed out by one of the flight attendants and like I was flying, I didn't have a parachute, and so I grabbed onto this cloud, and I, like, swung around it several times, and then I was, like, diving, and this other guy had to drop out of the plane, and he held me, and he had a parachute, so we floated down to Earth. And you're just like, what are you smoking? Like, you are crazy. Like, you're lying. You are lying. But he would say this as if it was completely true. And sometimes I think about this whole idea of that, like, he's all talk and he's never really done any of the things he says. And I think about that and I wonder if, as Christians, do we do the same thing? Do we talk a lot about, like, God loves you, I love you, there is a right way that the world is supposed to work, and we talk about that a lot, but we actually don't ever do anything about it. We don't ever act on it. And I wonder if a lot of people that are not Christians are looking at us and thinking the same things that I thought about Audrey's brother. The same sort of, you're an idiot, you're such a liar. You know, because when Christians come across and we have a lot of talk but no action, we come across as liars, we come across as hypocrites. And Christ warns us against that thing. He says, no, 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 you cannot just love in word, you have to love in action, put it into action. I want you guys to go ahead and turn in your Bibles real quickly to 1 John. And the book of 1 John is really, really tiny. It's only like 5 chapters big, and it's towards the back of your Bible. So if you go past Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you keep going all the way past Hebrews, you'll eventually get to this place in your Bible, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But you're looking for 1 John. Mine's right here, so you can see how small that is towards the back. So look for 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read in verse 16. It's past Peter. Right past Peter. Yeah. 1 and 2 Peter, and then you'll get to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Peter, keep going. 2 Peter, and then 1 John. All right, here we go. We're going to go ahead and read. 1 John 3:16. It's like John 3:16, but different, because it's 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. If any of you has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? Dear children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but with actions and in truth. Now, here's the question. Shout this out. What are material possessions? Good. Some of the key ones that I really heard loudest were clothes, money, food. I think somebody said inanimate objects. You said that? Okay, inanimate objects. So your iPod, your cell phone, your Dragon Ball Z tapes, whatever it is that you have, your possessions. Awesome. Okay, so what this verse is saying is that if any one of you has material possessions, which if you are all wearing clothes right now, which you are, thank you, you have material possessions. If any of you has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? Basically, if you're saying that you're a Christian, but when you see somebody who needs something, you don't meet that need, God's love is not in you. It can't be. It can't be in you. Because Christ laid down his life for us, and we are called to lay down our lives for other people. Now, there was once this story that goes around a lot, and it was about this missionary. This missionary had this idea like, gosh, I really think that God has called me to tell other people about Jesus. And so the church he was in sent him to the deepest, darkest jungle of South America and said, yes, we want to help you do that. We want to help you do that. Here's your plane ticket. Here's all the supplies you'll need. Like, go tell those people about Jesus. So he gets there, and about 3 years later, he comes back. And the church says, how's it going? Are we taking care of your needs? Do you need anything else? What's happening? Are you telling people about Jesus? He says, I'm really trying hard to tell people about Jesus, but I've run into this problem. And they said, what? He said, I don't have any food to feed them. And they look at them and they go, we don't want you to feed them. We just want you to tell them about Jesus. And he's like, well, this is what happens. People come from miles and miles and miles, 20, 30, 40 miles around, and they walk barefoot to where I am at. I'll get 100 people there, and they will all be listening intently as I tell them about Jesus. But the problem is that they can't hear me. And they're like, oh, do you need a microphone? Do you need a speaker? Do you need a loudspeaker? He says, no, no, no. The grumble in their stomachs is so loud because they haven't eaten for weeks that they can't hear anything that I'm saying. And he tells the church, if you really want to reach these people, you've got to feed them. Now, you guys have probably experienced a similar thing. The period right before lunch at school, have you ever been so hungry that you have no idea what the teacher's talking about? Has that ever happened to you? Totally. I know sometimes I have to sit in meetings and I'm just like, I don't care what you're talking about. I just need some food. So if you can feed me, then we can talk about this, but I'm done, right? The same thing happens all around the world. There are people, like, your hunger pains are from maybe you skipped breakfast, and so you haven't eaten since dinner last night. Oh, my. Maybe you skipped breakfast, so you haven't eaten since dinner last night. These hunger pains that people experience all around the world haven't eaten for 2 days, 3 days, a week. 18 days. I had a friend that actually went over with their youth group to Haiti, and they worked at this orphanage, and it was really, really incredible experience for them because they went into the orphanage, and they started playing with the kids, and they were super sweet kids, and they found out from some of the orphanage workers that the kids hadn't eaten in 18 days, and the group just had to go back to their church, and they had 3 meals a day that they were staying at. And yet at this orphanage, they hadn't eaten for 18 days. And the youth group was just like, "Are you, like, just feed them. Get them some food." And they're like, you don't understand. We don't have any. It's not only that we don't have the money to buy food. It's that there is no food in this town. There's none that is growing. There is none that is being shipped here. There is no food anywhere for us to get. Even if we had all the money, we couldn't get our hands on the food that we need to feed these kids. And so the youth group went back to their church knowing, like, that they were going to eat. And it wasn't like they knew that they were on a mission trip. They knew that they weren't going to be eating steaks every night. And so they went back, and I think they had rice and beans for dinner or whatever. And the whole youth group is just looking at their food saying, I ate this morning. Like, I don't need this food. Can we pack this food up and send it to the kids? And so what happened was this beautiful thing where the youth group started to say, you know what, we'll eat one meal a day, And the other two meals that we're supposed to be eating, we're sending to the orphanage. And so because of God's blessing, because of the sacrifice that youth group made right there while they were on a mission trip, that orphanage ate for 7 days. Now, they only got one meal, but that was much more than they had been getting in the past 18. This is the kind of sacrifice and the difference that we as Christians are called to. Could you imagine if those students had just played with the orphans and then said, all right, peace out. You hope that God feeds you because I've got my food over here. And that real world example of what that looks like. Now, there's another parable of what we are called to do in Luke 13. So I want you to look into your Bibles. You're going to go back this way to Luke. And it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So check out in your Bibles. Look for chapter 13, verse 6. Now, this is a parable that we're going to act out, and so I need some people willing. I need three people that are willing to help me act it out. One, come on up. Jabria, come on up. And Eric, come on up. Okay, who can be a really good tree? Can somebody be a... No. Then one of my... Eric, you're going to be the tree. Okay, you're going to be the owner. And Jabria, you're going to be the plot tender. Okay, you're going to be the caretaker. All right, so here you go. You're gonna have to act this out. You're going to be a tree. All right, Luke 13, verse 6. Then Jesus tells this parable. A man had a fig tree. That's you. You have a fig tree. Look, that's your fig tree. It was growing in his vineyard. Grow. There you go. You're growing. And the man went to look for the fruit on the tree, but he couldn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, that's Jabria, for 3 years. McKenna, you're going to tell Jabria this. So he looked at the man who took care of the vineyard, and the man said, For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should this tree use up the soil? The man replies, Sir, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine.
Okay.
If not, then cut it down. That you say that. Okay, great. So we've got this tree, and the owner says there's no fruit on it. You've got no fruit. And so she wants to cut it down. In this story, who is God? This is a quick lesson in reading the Bible. When you read the Bible, Jesus tells a parable, you need to identify who is God in this story. Is it the tree? Is it the caretaker, or is it the owner?
The tree.
Okay, raise your hand if you think it's the tree. Okay, raise your hand if you think it's the caretaker. Raise your hand if you think it's the owner. All right, awesome. Here's the answer. It is the owner. It's the owner, all right? And who are we? The tree. Let's read it one more time and keep thinking about that. The tree, God, us, and who's Jabria?
Jesus.
All right, let's read it one more time. You guys act it out, but this time I'm not going to have you speak anything. You just have to act out the words that I'm saying, okay? Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. And he went to look for the fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should this tree use up the soil? You would need to act that out. Okay, ready? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Awesome. Can you give him a round of a hand for helping out? Round of a hand. Give him a round hand. Okay, so how does this parable apply to us? This is how it works out. We are a tree. And God looks at us, and over again in the Bible, Jesus talks about this idea of fruit. That fruit is our actions. If you as a tree produce fruit, if you're actually taking actions towards doing something, then God loves that. But if we're not producing any fruit, if we're not doing any good actions, God kind of looks at us. We're not saved through our actions, but if we're not doing any actions, God looks at us and he says, cut it down. There's no love in that tree. Cut it down. Now Jesus says, hold on a second. I want to try to build into this tree. I want to try to help this tree grow. I want to try to see if we can make some fruit happen, that these people would actually take action in their faith. So give me one more year. And God says, okay, we'll give one more year, but if there's no fruit, we're cutting it down. God looks at us the same way. If he looks at us and says, yeah, I've got a group of students here, and I got a couple that are producing fruit and a couple that aren't. A couple of them are doing some awesome things for me. They're following me in really great ways. The other ones are just talk. They're not really doing anything. They're just talking about me. God is saying to us that I'm going to cut those trees down. We're done with those ones. And so it becomes this really, really serious thing that we need to produce fruit as Christ followers. We need to be about the business of taking action. Now, we're doing this thing this week called One Meal, One Day. And it is an awesome opportunity to take action. And through our actions, not just through our words, show the love of God. And it's this really easy thing. You just have to skip a meal if you can skip a meal, and whether you can or not, donate the money that you would have spent on that meal to some kid in another country so he can eat, right? And if you can even take another step and do something bigger than that, convince your friends to do the same thing. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to kind of share, what are you doing for One Meal, One Day? And if you aren't doing anything, why not? Go ahead and talk to your friend about that next to you. Make sure everyone has somebody to talk to. If you've both had the opportunity to share, go ahead and bring it back in. I want to challenge you guys to have, if you're not used to taking action on things that have to do with your faith, I want to challenge you that this may be a great first step for you. Just try it out. Try to take some action in loving other people, not just with words, but with what we do. I'm going to invite John and the people who lead us in our worship time to come on up. And during this time, I want you guys to really think and talk to God about, God, is what I'm doing what you want me to do? Do you want me to do something else, something more? Do I need to take action not just with One Meal, One Day, but with how I love my family? Or how I'm loving my friends, or how I'm loving myself. And really think through those things of, it can't just be talk, it has to be some sort of action. So if you will stand with me, let's go ahead and pray together. Father, I ask that even today, what we do here this morning isn't going to be just talk. But instead that you would have this be something inside of us that grows and stirs us to move, to act. I thank you that you are a God that speaks to us in ways that we can understand, and I ask that you would speak to us now. Amen.